As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Coming to you all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada. And glad to be here. Glad to be anywhere at my age. Anyway, this is Love My Renovation Project. And for those of you who don't know, my is my initials. That's why it's Love Mike Young's Renovation Project. Love My Renovation Project. Most of my websites have my in it, my team, my 203K team, and so forth. Welcome. Anyway, this is where we talk about all things regarding renovation projects, either the FHA 203K home style or the VA renovation loan products primarily. There are about six other for a total of nine renovation projects or programs out there for your clients. You need to learn about them. If you took our training, you'd know about them. In any case, if you'd like to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. I talked to several people last week that said they almost got to the point of calling in. Brent, get on the phone. give us a call. We'd love to have your. We'd love to hear your input. That's what makes the show more interesting, believe it or not. Nobody can listen to me forever and stay interested. So we gotta spice the show up with your comments and your questions. That really helps. And while most of 203Ks go off without a hitch, from time to time you may find yourself with nobody to talk to on your side that understands the program. If you have a problem with your renovation project and don't mind discussing it on live radio, please call in. If you want to be more private about it and get just one-on-one help, please call. Go to one of our websites like 203k911.com, fill out the questionnaire there, and send us an email. We'll be happy to give you a call back or give you a number you can reach us and discuss your specific problem. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, then feel free to call us or leave us a message. A lot of people are writing in now and calling me and leaving me messages. I prefer emails. That way I can just copy and paste. I don't have to type. Anyway, some of the questions that came in these past couple weeks. How many draw inspections can you have on a 203K project? Well, up until recently, about 2015, you could have as many as you needed. That has not changed. With the 4000.1 handbook, it says there are only five draws allowed on a 203K project. That is not the whole truth. That is not true. You can have as many as you need. They're only going to finance those. Oh, we do have a caller. Okay, let's go ahead and bring Brent on.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Brent. I'm glad you called in. Got a little gutsy there.
My pleasure. I heard you say get on the phone, so I did.
There you go. I appreciate it. So, tell me what's happening in your world. So, you're down in the Dallas area?
Yes, sir. I live in Fort Worth. And I provide both inspections and consultations in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The first thing I'd like to do is mention that I'm looking at your business card right now, and you have a comment regarding providing more than you would expect.
There
I would like
go.
To say after taking your training and developing the relationship we have, That statement couldn't be more true.
I'm sorry.
You're providing more than you expect.
I missed part of that.
Right.
Did you get more than
you expected? The service and training you provide is definitely more than one could expect.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
But I'm curious, how long have you been a home inspector?
Almost 4 years.
4 years. And you think you're going to like this 203K stuff, consulting?
I think so, most definitely. There's definitely been a learning curve. Borrower I have has been quite an experience for me. She decided to hire a contractor that didn't have proper insurance or permits necessary to start work.
And I've heard that about four times this last week, where the contractors were new to the program and didn't have all their credentials. One of my consultants went out to do a draw inspection for them, and he says, "Where's your permit?" They said, "Well, we didn't get one yet. We're just doing demo." Well, demo requires a permit in most areas. And if you get caught doing work without a permit, guess what happens to the permit fee? If you get caught, it doubles. So who's going to pay that? The contractor, in my opinion.
Right.
He's going to, at some point, he's going to try to soak it back to the borrower. So another thing that came up this week was, I don't ever want you to become an advocate. You're not an advocate for the borrower. Once the loan closes, you are an inspector for the lender, always with the borrower's best interest at hand. But don't step over the line and try to become more than you are. And the reason for that, especially the new guys, we all want to help. And if you want to help, great. Let's steer them to the guideline. And I don't think you're at fault in that area at all. I think you're doing just fine from what I hear.
Well, I think the mistake I made was I accepted a call from the borrower rather than having a formal conversation with the contractor and assuring that permits were going to be issued and proper insurance would be in place before renovation started. Therefore, I basically went to the home the other day and more or less worked for free. Being that the first draw request wasn't...
I always have the contractor fill out column 3 and sign the paperwork when I get to the job. And that way, you're assured of getting paid for the trip. If they didn't do their part, that's no reason not to pay you. So I would, in the future, this one is a learning curve, but when you go out to the draw, the first thing I do is ask the contractor, has he filled out column 3? If he says no, I hand him the paperwork. I said, please fill out column 3. And he will say something like, why don't you just check everything and pay me for what you can? And I say, there's 35 items there. You didn't work on 32 of them. Which 3 did you work on? In NIMS call. That's about where it is. You don't want to spend all that time looking at 35 items, knowing that all he's done is a little bit of demo. So just fill out the demo items. Go ahead.
If you know beforehand that he's not going to meet proper credentials as far as insurance or, my concern that with this one was insurance. The guy doesn't have proper insurance to complete the renovation.
Well, that's so a good fear.
I was hesitant to.
Yeah, that's a good fear to have. What I'm thinking is you need to put that back on the lender. See, the lender is supposed to vet the contractors. So before the contractor ever started, as soon as he was chosen, the lender should have and probably did send them three forms to fill out. One's a W-9, so they can give them payments. And one is a background insurance. They also request a copy of their license in the city or state or county they're working in. if that county requires licenses. And they also want three references. And they're good about calling those. It takes about a week to vet a contractor. And again, it's not your job to check that license. Or you just want to make sure the permit's there when you go out to do your first drawing and get a good picture of it or a scan of it. You're taking over the lender's responsibility if you're getting into the insurance. Where's your insurance and how much do you have? And that's not our job. So just be careful. When you start taking those responsibilities on, then you've just taken them on for all future projects. And I think that's probably not the best thing you want to do. Let the team function. Let the team do their job. Yeah.
Okay. I always appreciate your great advice, Mike.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the calls we get during the week. As you know, we get a lot of calls from people like you just getting started in the business, and that's all part of our service. Happy there to answer. And as you know, you can call me anytime from the job. If there's a question on the job, just pick that phone up, call me. I answer my own calls. I don't have a secretary that answers them and fields them and so forth. And I do that because that's the way I built my business, and that's the way I continue to grow my business. But we're here for you, and you're one of my shining examples of a new consultant. I think you're going to do great, Brent. Thank you, by the way, for calling.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Stay tuned with us. Okay. Let's get back to the show. When we were talking about how many draw inspections can you have on a 203K project, Brent just mentioned that he thought he wasn't going to get paid for that. So always when you go out to the job, the first thing you do is ask the contractor to fill out column 3 and sign it. Sign page 2, second line from the top. That gives your draw request. Until it's signed and filled out column 3 and signed, it's not a request. It's a prayer. He's hoping you'll come out and give him something. But he's got to tell you what to look at, what you need to look at so you can see whether you can pay him or not. He can ask for anything he wants. So don't get caught in that trap either, particularly you new guys. The older guys, you probably know this and have had it happen dozens of times, if not hundreds of times. And that is, contractor's going to ask for the moon. That's okay. It's his request. If you look at the draw request form, there's four columns. Column 1 is what's available for that particular line item. Column 2 is what has already been paid out. Column 3 is the contractor's request. Column 4 is blank. So column 3, he requests it, signs it, and then you and the homeowner walk around and look at these things. And if you or the homeowner is not satisfied that these things are done in a professional and workmanlike manner, either one of you can put a line through that line item in column 3, and in column 4 write down how much you are willing to pay, if anything. I scratch things out all the time. Interesting thing happened in 1994 when I was a new consultant. I was sued a couple of times because we just didn't know what we were doing yet. The first time, by the way, we won every case, but you lose when you go to court. You always lose. So I say we won. We won the argument, but we lost because we had to go to court. And we changed the way we consult, and changed the way we teach consultants how to consult, and haven't been in court again since 1994. But one of the guys said, "You didn't consult with me. He's my consultant, and he didn't consult." And when he finished talking, the judge says, "Mr. Young, what's your side of this story?" And I said, "If I can ask him one question, I think I can clear this up." "Oh," judge says, "please go ahead." And I looked at I looked at him and I said, "Do you remember when we first met at the site and I put my hand on your shoulder and I said something to you?" He said, "Oh my God, you did. You said, this is our consultation." To this day, when I go out to that first day, because the client doesn't know what a consultation is, so you got to let him know. This is your consultation. We're going to consult today. And I always found that if I put my hand on their arm or their shoulder, or I'm shaking hands with them, I'll grab it with both hands and shake their hand and say, today's your consultation. That little touch is so effective. It works. Two of them said, I paid the contractor without the work being properly done. When it came my turn, I said, if you'll look at exhibit one, that's draw number one. Column three is filled out. If you'll notice, there's some lines through some of the numbers, and a new number is put in column four. The judge says, yes, I see that. What does that mean? And I said, column three is what the contractor requested. And if you'll notice, he signed it, swearing that everything was done and complete. The homeowner agreed. But me and the homeowner agreed, column four. And you can see that I did not pay him things that he asked for because they weren't done. And he looked at the next exhibit, draw two, and the next one, draw three. He said, looks like this contractor's continually asking for things that aren't done. And I said, that's sure, that's correct. He says, Mr. Young, you're dismissed. And it's all about keeping that piece of paper with that line through the item you didn't pay him. In case you ever have to get in front of a judge, you have that piece of paper. Now, I know lots of consultants. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we are, Don. We're running way over. I need to take a short break, and we'll continue this right after this short break. Thank you so much. Hang with us.
K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
We are back. It didn't take too long. Glad you picked. Let's get back to where we were. How many draws can you have on a 203K project? Well, the 4000.1 guideline that came out, I think it was 2014 in the final version, 2015, says we can only have five. And that's a fact. You can only have five built into the unit, built into the loan. Doesn't mean you can only have five. I had a lender the other day that said, Mr. Young, you can only have five draws. So we're going to, the next draw should be the final or don't do it. And I said, and how am I supposed to know it's a final if they don't tell me that? Well, you'll just have to ask them. I said, okay, there's $100,000 left. A contractor's on short string. His draw is probably going to be about $50,000. But it's not 100, so it's not a final. So you're going to run him bankrupt and not serve your client all because you think there's only five allowed. Oh, my goodness. No, we don't want to do that. And I said, I know you don't. And HUD needs to clarify that in the guideline, that you can have more than five draws provided you get paid for them outside the loan. Most of us, in talking to the consultants around the country, merely do a change order and take it from contingency, and that's 90% of it. If that doesn't work, we are okay to take cash for that final draw or any other interim draws or a check if you trust the people. Be careful. I took over a project a couple years ago from another consultant. Soon as I got to the job, I noticed it was a mixed-use building and that they had just finished working on a lot of the commercial aspect under the 203K. And were asking me to sign it off. I said, that's the commercial part of this property. It can't be part of this loan. He said, Mr. Young, you were just hired to sign it off. That's all you were hired. Inspect it. Is it done right? Is it not done right? So I checked with the lender, and that's exactly what they wanted, and I reported the fraud to the lender. It doesn't do any good to report it to HUD because they don't care. HUD does not care if there's fraud going on. They only send you back to the lender. And if you go back to the lender doesn't want to turn it in because fraud means they're going to check everything you've ever done and see if there's any more of that particular fraud going on. See if it's a habit. And they'll shut you down for 60, 90 days, and you won't make any loans during that process. They can actually put a lender out of business when that word comes up. So it's a nasty word that nobody wants to deal with. But they don't want us to be part of it. Interesting. So we had one the other day, a few years ago, actually. It was a $545,000 construction project. That's just the construction. Yeah, I know. A lot of you people are in states where your loan amounts don't go up as high as they do here. We had 13 draws on it. If, in fact, it's true that you can only have five, we were 8 draws too many. Client recently, we needed 7 to get her job finished, her client's job finished. And it was funny that she told me, you could only have 5 draws, Mr. Young. You just had the 5th one. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, and the draw coordinators and I battled it back and forth a little bit. And I said, no, it's not that you can only have 5, even though that's what the guideline says. It turns out that's not what it means. It means you can only have 5 built into the loan. So when you put your paperwork together, put 5 loans. Wells Fargo years ago, I did a lot with Wells Fargo back in the 90s. We had many of them that we put 6, 7, 8 draws because of the amount of construction warranted it. But they're not in the business anymore, so maybe that's one of the reasons. Who knows? So anyway, the mixed-use project, they gave me a hot check, the last one, and never did get paid for it. So we want to be sure and get paid cash if it's your final draw. If you're a consultant, that's the guideline. It allows you to pick up cash. Their check is no good on the last draw. Now, if you know them and you've done a lot of business with them and the contractor's paying you the check, make your choice, but be ready for your suffering and pain that goes along with it. Okay. The questions keep coming up about how can I fire my contractor? You know, firing a contractor is not an easy task, and it's not always in the borrower's best interest. It better be a darn good reason. We had one. There was one draw left. It was in Lenoir, North Carolina, and I got out there for the draw, and the owner's wife had kicked the contractor off the job. Henceforth and furthermore, there is no making up. I don't want his wife on my project. Apparently, the wife went out there and was using a lot of foul language, and it didn't set well with these Christian people. So she just said, when I told her to clean up her mouth, she told me to, under no certain terms, to go X myself. And so they're not coming back to my project. We had less than 3 days work left to do. Less than 3 days work, and this project would be finished. Oh, so we finally got it finished, but the wife of the contractor never came back to the job site. She probably never should have in the first place. But firing a contractor, there's a prescribed things to do. But you have to fire them for cause. They have a contract with you. Now, if they haven't done anything and haven't received any money, it might be a lot easier. Just tell them they no longer need their services for whatever reason. But if they've been paid a draw or two And now you're just fed up with him, his antics, he's not getting out and getting the job done. And you want to fire them, you certainly can. If you go to the 203k911.com and look at frequently asked questions, there's a whole list of things there, how to fire my contractor. But again, it's not always in the best interest of the borrower. We had one that, I guess it's been about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where the contractor showed up on day one and ripped out the bathroom, gutted it completely. Toilets, bathtubs, everything is out of the bathroom. Acted like he was going to get started and be gangbusters. The job was about a 90-day job at most. We usually figure it's a 60-day job. We're going to give an extra 30 days. So we put it down as a 90-day job. What happened is the lender has a form letter that they use, and the form letter recites the guideline improperly. Now, not the right way. Their little form letter says you have up to 6 months to finish this project. No, the guideline says up to 6 months. The consultant tells you it's only a 3 months job. Then dang it, that's what you're supposed to put. Don't go and tell them 6 months, because that's exactly what happened here. The contractor said, oh, wow, I got 6 months. I didn't know that. So I don't need to show up for five more months, because I can knock this out in 30 days. Does the homeowner, the home buyer, want to wait 5 months with nothing happening at his house? No. You know, he didn't build six payments into this thing. We built two, maybe three. So sometimes the lenders can step in it too. The lender and the underwriters and the people in the back room at these lenders need to realize that that's up to 6 months to complete the job. And it's not a blanket 6 months on any job size. You know, we've seen stuff where all we're doing is replacing the roof. We can have that done in 2 weeks. That includes scheduling time and everything else. So let's give those a little bit of common sense in your decisions. So in order to fire a contractor, you've got to come up with a cause. Why are you firing this guy or gal? You got to send them a letter informing them of their decision to remove from the project. But you got to give them details and reasons for the removal. You can't just say you're fired. You have to have cause. So you got to be sure and include the property address, the date of the termination. It's got to be signed and dated by the homeowner. And an exit draw has to happen. The consultant or slash inspector at that time will come out and inspect everything that's done. We had one not too long ago where the homeowner was firing the contractor, sent him notice. That stops everything for 10 days and gives the contractor 10 days to rectify his problem. So if he gets his problem rectified, he hasn't been fired and he's still on the job. So you've got to make this letter very strong and very pointed and tell him exactly where the problem lies so that they can respond accordingly. This particular homeowner was a contractor, a hands-on kind of guy. So while he was firing the contractor, he continued to build on the house. He kept closing things up and painting some stuff. And lo and behold, he was able to fire the contractor. But when we did the exit draw, all this additional work was done. Guess who gets paid for that? The contractor he fired. We don't know if he contractor did or if he did it. We're just taking his word that he did. Anyway, that particular homeowner was extremely happy. He did have a lien placed on his property once the contractor was fired. The lien alleged X number of dollars was still owed him. But the problem was it wasn't owed to him yet. He hadn't finished the work. So we waited. We took a class, and I recommend all consultants take a class on liens and lien rights in your state. Builders exchanges will quite often give a nice class on that. I met a guy that has a book. If you're interested, send me an email. I'll give you the guy's name. You can get the book or order the book online, I'm sure. It was a fascinating thing. I found out that in California, the lean rights are only good if they exercise them and perfect the lean. So we're going to finish talking about that in just a second. We're going to take another short break. Please call in at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. In fact, call in if you don't want to be part of the show. Anyway, we'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, welcome back. That wasn't too bad, was it? Say no. Say uh-oh, Bubba. Anyway, so we got the firing the contractor. This particular one filed a lien. I suggested he ignore it. We got a hold of the lender's draw specialist. Told him a lien has been filed on the property and please do not pay it. And don't do that over the phone. Send that person a notice in writing. So if they do pay it, the lender becomes liable. We had that happen, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. A lien was placed. The lender panicked, paid the contractor for work he hadn't done. It wasn't a matter of for work he had done. He claimed everything in his contract, and they paid it, and they ended up paying it again when we had the work done by a contractor who actually did the work. But we informed this loan draw specialist, do not pay this lien. We're going to let it run out, and we'll take our day in court. And what happens is, in your day in court, that's called perfecting the lien. The home or the contractor has to get you in front of a judge. The fun part is that once he gets you in front of the judge, he'd better have everything lined up exactly correctly and ask for the exact right amount of money for what is owed him. Not what he hopes is owed him on the whole contract, but what is owed him right now as of the date of the firing. So we waited 45 days. The homeowner's calling me. Hey, this guy hasn't got us in court yet. You say that's a good thing. And I said, well, it's good either way. If he gets you in front of a judge, you're going to be able to go after him for all the work that he did that was substandard. And the judge can make him pay back money that he's already been paid if the judge agrees with you. Oh, okay. So we waited and waited. And 90 days come and gone, and the homeowner called me and says, hey, 90 days have gone, and we never had to get in front of a judge. And I said, fine. I said, well, he has to remove the lien. So homeowner called the contractor and says, remove the lien. He says, remove the lien? No way. I'm not going to remove that lien until you pay me. So then the contractor had an attorney write a letter demanding payment. Well, that's fun. So I suggest that you have your attorney look at it and respond to it. His attorney responded to the contractor's attorney and said, how dare you? This is not a valid lien. You didn't perfect it, and you can remove it now. I think he gave him a day or two to have it removed, and it was removed. That contractor lost his lien rights. Even his holdback money, he's not owed anything more than he's already been paid. So the homeowner got to keep the lien money, which was about $47,000. Yeah, no, it wasn't quite that much. About half that, 27. The total amount was about 47 that he saved from this contractor. So getting a lien on your property is not the end of the world. The hard part is keeping the lender from paying it without proof of payment. If you're doing the draw inspections and you're turning in paperwork that shows these items are complete, that's one thing. But when you don't turn something in, that's effectively saying these things aren't yet done, and the lender should honor that. So anyway, as Peg and I travel around the country, we like to visit most of our state representatives whenever we're in the areas. Hasn't been too much this week, or this year has been really busy, been all over the place, but rest of the year, I think we're pretty much going to stay here in Las Vegas. It's 109. I believe it's 109 degrees out there. Let's see. Oh, it says 80 degrees out there. I don't believe it for a second. It's closer to 109. So, but we do try to stop and see our different branches, people who are using our products. And when we do that, we welcome you to have set up seminars. Let me show you how to effectively give a 203K seminar with a slight twist to it. This is a marketing trick that I have and train all of our people for, but most people don't understand it until they see it happen right in front of their eyes. Who was it? Norwest Mortgage, years ago. They're not around any longer. They were giving a seminar in Vallejo, California, and I lived in, excuse me, I didn't live there. I was working. My office was in Rodeo, California, about 10 or 15 minutes away. I got a panic phone call one day and said, hey, our corporate people are supposed to be here and they're late. I've got 600 realtors in a room in Vallejo and nobody to talk about the 203K. So I got in my car, I drove over there and walked up on stage and I gave a seminar. And I pointed out that it was nice. Today's an informational seminar. That's all it is. But it doesn't show you the dynamics of how a 203K can work. So next week, I think we're going to get into the basics of a 203K and marketing like you won't believe. So we're going to teach you how to market your services in a dynamic way that will blow you away. Once you do it this way, you'll never do it another way, I am sure. But what we do differently is to have 600 realtors in the room is like having 600 puzzle pieces that are all the same puzzle piece and try to put a puzzle together with that. You don't have all the pieces that you need to put that puzzle together. So next week we're going to get into how to really blow your marketing out of this world. And if you'll do it this way, again, I did it this way for 1 year and was able to knock down 14, anywhere between 10 and 14, but mostly 14 deals a week. I created 14 loans a week for my lender. I created 14 consultant jobs for my consultants. You can give this thing every day of the week. Did you hear that? If you wanted to do that every day of the week, 2 hours of your time, and you're going to knock down about 10 to 14 deals, you could do it every day if you wanted to. Most people don't want to be that busy, and at 71 years old, I no longer want to be that busy either. But I'm happy to show you this live. If you're on our team and you want to get on that list so that when I'm in your area, we can set up that, I'm happy to do that. Oh, in the latest guideline changes, some of the things that really were a benefit to us here in California and probably elsewhere, but we had a house not too long ago. It had a separate pool. The pool needed way too much work for HUD's guideline at that time was a maximum of $1,500. You can't, you just can't do any more than $1,500 worth of work on a swimming pool. Now that part of the guidelines change, and now short of building an entire pool, you can fix the pool as much as it costs. That is cool. And the client didn't want to get rid of his pool, but it was, and it was separately fenced. So we just secured that fence and left the pool there for future renovations. In fact, I think I'd better call him and let him know about the guideline change. He may want to get in there and finish the pool now with another 203K. You can do a 203K behind a 203K. You can do a Title I behind a 203K. Title I loans are primary signature loans. That's what they used to be called. So if you're doing your 203K and you're moseying along, everything's going fine, all of a sudden you run into a problem that you didn't know existed and your contingency is just not enough to cover it, you can apply for a Title I loan. That's an FHA loan. It is not title on your car. It's not a title loan. It's a Title I, Roman numeral one. And it's a good way to pick up an extra, $25,000 on a single family house, or $12,000 per unit, up to 5 units. Now, got any young investors listening? Did you hear what I said? You pick up a 5-plex, you can pretty much get a loan for a Title I loan on that 5 units for 5 times 12, $60,000 overnight. You know, let's not say overnight, but it usually takes about 2 weeks, and the money's in your hand. All of the money is in your hand, and they give you 6 months to finish the job. So you can get in there and do it. So if you've got a project, you're picking up a 5-plex. These loans are relatively easy to get, and they don't require equity from what I understand. Just you have to show that you can make the payments. It's a 20-year loan. So if you have a first deed of trust that's only 10 years, you've just screwed yourself. You can only get a 10-year fixer loan. They will make their loan equal to your first, but they will not surpass it. So if you, when you're dealing with home sellers or building sellers and you're writing that contract and he's willing to give it to you and finance for 2 years, that's not the best way to do it. Why don't you finance it for 20 years so you can get the money to fix it up? Once it's fixed up, you could probably refinance and clean him out. So you have to do an addendum. So, let's see. We've got swimming pool, Fannie Mae. I'm just looking over my notes here to see where I want to go. Okay, there's a lot of really innovative looking manufactured homes coming out. If you've got a manufactured home on owned land, land that is owned, FHA allows and has for a long time renovation on those as well. And that can be a whole separate industry. We did one on a house in Lincoln, California, and it was sitting on 10 acres. The top of the hill. It was kind of interesting. It was on a foundation that was not a perimeter foundation. It was the standard mobile home foundation. And we had an engineer come out and look at that foundation and gave it its blessing, gave them his blessing that this is a foundation that meets or surpasses the HUD minimum guidelines. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, I see we're running up against the clock again. This day is going so fast. If any of you other people have want to get online with us and have a talk or let us know about your particular situation or tell us about a project that you found interesting, we would appreciate it. Please call in at 888-627-6008. Toll free and be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break. So stay tuned.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Welcome back. This is Mike Young, and love my renovation project. You know, I wanted to extend an invitation to any people out there that are consultants, and you're just no longer happy with the service you're getting from wherever you might have got your training, or if you need help, you got questions to ask. We don't discriminate as to who we help. We help anybody who asks for help. We always have. We always will. We don't charge people for that. We're happy to be of any assistance we can to homeowners, whatever consultants that are getting in the business or consultants that have been here a while and you just need someone to talk to, maybe not in your marketing area, and see how they have a take on things. But it's worth the call. I guarantee you'll have you'll be glad you did. Anyway. Some of the questions we had last week. One was, we had a project with over $90,000 and the lender wanted me to, this is from a consultant, wanted me to sign a renovation loan initial disbursement request form to release $45,000 plus before the work begins. Is this something I can do or not? Well, for sure, it's good to be suspicious. The guideline, if you know the guideline, there's no upfront money on a 203K. But there also says that they can pay upfront for cabinetry. And some lenders don't look at the countertops as cabinetry. So the countertops quite often aren't even measured until the cabinets are installed. So that's okay. Anyway, this sounded like a materials advance. I had a contractor who had been with me, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. And he had been responsible and finished lots of projects. And one day, there was a $13,000 draw. And the lender cut that check directly to the contractor. While the contractor was whining that he couldn't get enough money to go get the materials, the homeowner cut the contractor a check for $13,000 out of his bank. And when the contractor saw the other check come in for $13,000, he ran down to the bank, cashed it, and we haven't seen him since. Now, that totally blew me away at the time. I still don't understand it, but I haven't seen this guy. And he'd probably done 20 or 30 203Ks with me, and I had never had a problem. But that day, I guess he figured it was time to leave the country with $13,000 times two, $26,000. But I want to let you know that we can be a lot of things, but we're never the advocate for the client. We are not the advocate. It's so easy to get caught trying to help somebody and getting behind them in their corner. But you have to realize as a consultant, you are just that, a consultant. Your job is to inspect the property and turn a report in on that inspection. If you're not currently turning a report in with that inspection, then you are not following the 203K guideline. We are supposed to turn in a 35-point checklist. You know, I use my app for that. I find it extremely easy to use, and it meets the minimum requirements. So you're not giving away a home inspection. Years ago, I think it was 1995 or 98, HUD called us a meeting in San Francisco where I was part of. And in that meeting, they said, we know that some of you guys are charging for a home inspection and a consultation. I just want you to know that a consultation includes a quasi-home inspection. So I raised my hand and I asked point blank, I said, a home inspection is, in my case, this is one that I have, is 58 pages. Lots and lots of pictures. Takes about 3 to 4 hours for me to conduct that one. To do the minimum requirement inspection, it takes about an hour. I am not going to give away 2 to 3 hours of my time for free. And HUD, the guy from HUD, Jim McClanahan at the time, looked at it and saw the difference. He says, these are quite different. I said, yes, and yours is not a home inspection by your own admission. We have to declare this is not a home inspection. By the way, if anybody listening is a consultant and they want to know what disclaimers that we use, we're happy to share that with you. Send me an email. Go on to one of my websites and leave a message there. Tell me what you'd like. You'd like to see all our disclaimers. But long time ago, I realized that contractors didn't see all the rules. Homeowners did. They know they can't change the scope of work, but contractors didn't. So we added some notes in Section 35 on our bid specs that tells the contractor that you or the borrower cannot change the scope of work without it going through the lender or the consultant. Some lenders have us make that decision for them. If it's a big change, we send it on to the lender and let them make the decision for themselves. Okay. In any case, the $90,000, he wants $40,000, $45,000 up front. Are we going to do that or not? On the back of the draw form, there's an area that's open for you to write comments. I would definitely check draw box 4 and then go down to that big area and write 4 and then explain what it is you're doing, that this is a lender cash advance requested by the lender for materials draw. And let it be very well known that you didn't do it, that this was a supplemental requirement by the lender. Lender has the right to make those choices. Because they made that choice, if they take this loan back and that contractor runs with this $45,000, and remember the story I just told you, my contractor ran with $26,000, $13,000 that he earned and $13,000 that he stole. So would somebody run off with $45,000? I think they would. I don't advise this, but it's possible. And if your lender's insisting on it, then it's a supplemental requirement that they're making you do. Then I would just disclaim it, disclose it fully so that if push comes to shove and this thing hits the fan, like it very well could, that you're not involved. You're doing what the lender instructed you to do. In the first part of a consultation, you work for the borrower. You're going to make that inspection. You're going to put a 35-point bid request together, and you're going to price it. And if you're not doing that, again, you're not doing your job as a consultant. So then once the loan closes, you no longer are the consultant. That ended your process. So at that point, you are just an inspector, and you work for the draw people at the lender's office. You're the eyes and ears in the field. So when they do something that is out of the guideline, you need to tell the lender, because that's your job now. If the homeowner comes to you and asks you a question that you really don't think the lender wants to hear, better pat him on the shoulder and ask, are you asking me this as a consultant or the inspector that works for the bank? I'm not sure. And then they usually say, oh, no, as a consultant, this is possible. Then I tell them very carefully that, no, you can't do that. Anyway, so I would suggest that you got to keep your paperwork in order and back it up, save it. So you're going to keep it. I keep it all electronically now. Sign it, return it. Remember, once the loan is closed, you became an inspector. That's all. If the contractor runs off with the money, it's clearly on them. I do know a lender or two that will typically allow 10% upfront on his home style loans. Another lender that'll go 10 to 20% on his home style loans. We're doing one right now that the project is over $500,000, and our contractor was tickled that he's going to get $52,000 upfront money. So, anyway, it's been fun today. I thank Brent for joining us. He's one of the guys that said he would. The other guys, anyway, we've got lots more to talk about. We're going to end this today. I thank you for coming by. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll see you next Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll be live, and we're going to go, let's concentrate. The last half of the show will be all about marketing 203K. Marketing 203K. And this is for advanced people. This is for people who want to build their business in a dynamic way and are willing to put a regularly scheduled seminar on open to the public, where we bring all the pieces of the puzzle into one room and you put that puzzle together. So thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.